extra.
Sales red meat. That's what it is. Red meat that you can take out into the street 1 minute after you hear it and turn it into money.
In a New York minute?
No, actually, Jenny, in a Jersey minute. And today's Sell or Die Extra is brought to you by...
Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like? It's Friday, and that can only mean one thing. It's time for the best of Sell or Die.
The best nuggets of sales wisdom every week, all in one place.
A sales slap in the face. A sales refresher.
I feel refreshed.
I can tell. And if you want to go back and listen to the full episodes, we've made it easy. There are links to each of the episodes right in the show notes.
If you love the podcast, if you're a true seller diehard, and you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet...
What are you waiting for?
Seriously, Friday is the best day to do it. It helps us so that we can help you.
It's time for the best of the best, the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme, sales grade A red meat. It's time
to sell or die.
Please welcome the great Alan Stein.
Yeah, well, there's all these different methodologies on coaching, you know, give them one thing or different ways of providing the best coaching. What's your strategy when you're in the moment? I mean, you just went into it a little bit, but let's go a little bit deeper. Like, let's say you don't have just the 30 seconds. You're in the locker room or it's before the game or at practice. Like, how do you provide a deeper level of coaching?
One thing I found from a coaching standpoint, and this requires, you know, constant awareness and working on emotional intelligence, which obviously is one of the most important skill sets to have when it comes to sales. But one thing is you have to understand what it is that you're trying to accomplish and the collective confidence of the group that you're working with. And the reason I bring this up is because I noticed that a lot of novice coaches get this wrong. If I'm the coach and our team is playing really poorly in the first half, most coaches will go down and berate them during the halftime, talk about everything they did wrong, how bad they are, how embarrassed they are, all of that stuff. And that's the exact opposite approach because their collective confidence is already low. They know that they're playing poorly, so you don't need to put sugar on top of sugar. That's when you actually need to be more positive. Find the few things they did right and get them prepared. Now, if your team plays a flawless first half, they executed, they played hard, they were great, their collective confidence is really high, you can actually scrutinize them a little bit more. You can be harder on them then because their confidence can withstand that. And you can nitpick about the little things they did wrong and tell them that they can't get complacent because they're playing well. So the reason I bring that up, same thing. If you're having a slow sales month, the last thing you want to do is put sugar on sugar and berate your team and tell them all the things they're doing wrong. And, you know, our quota was 100 this month. You guys only have 40. This is awful. I thought you guys were great salespeople. That's the wrong thing to do. So it's all about the collective psyche and understanding confidence and having the emotional intelligence to be able to weave those things in. So when your sales team is killing it, your quota was 100 and you're at 120 and the month's halfway done, then you can be even harder. You can stick, you know, you can put the stick on them even harder to make sure that they're going to continue to progress. But that's one area that I see coaches usually mess up.
Put down that coffee. We just did a segment where I videoed the 5 greatest sales I ever made, predominantly in New York City. And every one of them had a consistent theme. I went in with an idea. I went in with the right questions. And I had the right game plan. Those three things created outcome that was beneficial to me and also to the customer. And I think that that's where we're headed here. You want the outcome is you want that team to win the game.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you want that team to win the game in a way where they have confidence to go to the next game. You know, they make a shot in the last second to win the game. And they go, shit, we did it. And they're all pounding each other. They're all jumping on each other. It's so amazing. When you win by 20, you don't do anything. When you win by 2 in the last second, there's pylons and people screaming and dancing.
That's so true.
It's pretty interesting, a pretty interesting outcome. But I found that by going to games and watching my team win, it taught me how to be a winner. Because I watched how the coach played. I watched how the team played. And when they lost, clearly, they were not doing the fundamental execution. They missed layups.
Yep.
They didn't miss three-pointers from 27 feet. They missed layups.
But how much of that is actual just mindset? Like, you're missing a shot that you get all the time. Is it because you're actually not doing the fundamental correctly, or is it because you're worried or scared in your mind and you're thinking, you know, I have to get this shot or we're going to lose the game, and you're down on yourself and then you miss the shot?
I think it's a perfect storm of all of those. Some of it, I think, comes from the anxiety of, well, what if I miss, or I'm worried this person's going to block my shot, or what will people think if I miss? That's part of it. Sometimes they're just lacking focus. I mean, if you keep your eyes on the rim or eyes on the backboard and you're an elite level player, you're not going to miss very many layups. But sometimes, as we all do as human beings, we're fallible. We can get distracted in the moment. The number one skill set for anyone to perform at a high level in anything they do is being in the present moment, is being where their feet are and really being in the moment. Because the only way you can win the moment is if you're in the moment. And I love what you just brought up, Jeffrey, the three things that you made sure you did before those five great sales appointments that you had. And I guarantee too, whether you realize it or not, you were probably incredibly present during those, which is why you could ask insightful questions and you're actively listening to what they're saying so that you know that you're going to be able to propose something that will solve their problem and make it the right fit. So being present is how I define mental toughness. And we would always say to our basketball players, you have to learn to play present. And when you play present and the game just flows through you, you don't usually miss layups and you don't worry about, well, what if I miss or what if they block it? It's just all part of the game.
Diehards, say hello to Steve. What is something, what is an action that our diehards can take right now, like pause this podcast and do this, to figure out what are their superpowers?
Well, there's a couple levels. There are certain personality assessments that lots of us are familiar with, where you can at least, you know, go through StrengthsFinder and find out certain characteristics, which are part of the
Have you ever done delusion. That Enneagram? What's it?
I haven't done the Enneagram yet, no.
Okay. People are like obsessed with it on Instagram now.
Yeah, it's having its fad moment
yeah,
now.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think as far as the diehards, the best thing you can do is to find somebody that knows you professionally, knows you personally, and say, let me just do a complete mind dump with you. I want to tell you all my stories, all the good stuff, the bad stuff. I want to tell you what I really want. It has to be somebody safe, because a lot of times you can't bring this stuff up. I end up being like a father confessor figure with people who can't talk to anybody else, but they'll tell me everything. And I've had people cry, you know, in front of me as they've been talking about their frustrations.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because it gets all built up and we have no outlet and no way to talk about it and we can't be objective. So if we can find somebody to be an objective voice, to listen and sort it out, and this person hopefully has some level of analytical skills, because you've got to be able to analyze. You've got to be able to say this, but not that. This fits here, but that doesn't fit. That's one of the most important things. Because again, you can't read the label of the jar you're in. We need outside help to really get a clear picture. I have a business coach for that reason. You know, I can help lots of people figure themselves out, but I get wrapped around my own axle all the time. I get all confused, too many ideas, too many directions, and I need somebody to keep me in line.
That's cool. I love it. All right, so diehards, pause the podcast and just do a brain dump on paper and then go talk about it with someone.
What do you think your strength, let's number it. You have 3, 4, 5 major strengths. Maybe you're good at making other people laugh, making friends. Maybe you're good at asking questions. Maybe you're good at creating connections with other people for other people. But whatever your strengths are, identify those so you can figure out if your strengths fit your job. And if they don't fit your job, what would fit your job? And I would also challenge people to make a list of the things that they absolutely love to do. I just coached someone recently on changing their job. And I said, I'm leaving the room, make a list of 10 jobs that you would love to have if money was not an object. Mm-hmm. And that makes them think because they've never gone down that path before.
Yeah. Right. Well, I think one of the best ways is not only to have bullet points of what you think your strong suits are, but to go to your stories. Just go to those moments when you have really hit the ball out of the park and then analyze that. Say, why? Why was I so engaged? Why did I do such a great job? Why was that client so happy? That's where the clues are. It's the clues are in those sweet spot moments where you can actually find out that's when I was in the zone.
So you're looking for this person to get in to identify their superpower and talk about when they were in the zone and they recognized they were in the zone.
By the way, just for the record, I've already written down like 3 different stories of my that have identified my zone of genius. Yeah, I love it.
So are you going to quit after this podcast? Wait a minute. Now, I didn't. That wasn't the goal.
No, I'm in the right place for me. I am confirmed that I'm in the right place. But it's cool to do that and figure out like, well, what maybe I could be doing other things that I haven't focused on yet that made me really happy, that were really exciting and fun that I excelled at, you know? And same for you, diehards. Like maybe you are in your zone of genius and you can extend it in some way.
Mm-hmm. And maybe.
Maybe you just hate what you're doing.
Or maybe you know someone who's doing what you want to do.
Oh, yeah.
And you can connect with them to find out, is it fantasy or is this reality?
Yeah, for
right.
sure.
Because well, here's the thing. I subtitled my book. It's called Clarity Wins, and the subtitle is Get Heard, Get Referred. And one of the points of gaining clarity about our direction and our purpose and you mentioned Instagram earlier. I tell stories because I want to bring to the surface the hashtags. We all have hashtags. Those are our strengths. Those are our superpowers. But we want to be able to articulate those hashtags and those stories so that people can refer us, because the best way to get a job or the best way to get new business, as we all know, is through referrals. Well, how do we activate referrals? But by giving people memorable, clear word packages so they know how and where to refer us. So that entire book, the purpose of that book is to help people come up with those word packages so that we can make referrals for each other and not be at the mercy of the almighty algorithm.
And we are glad you're here today for Motivation Monday.
Before. I've never pre-done a rehearsal, but because it's Jen and I, it's not just me or it's not just Jen, we had to coordinate and get our info straight.
Okay, so secretly, I always do that.
Oh.
Because, okay, here's the deal. I don't want the customer to hear what I have to say for the very first time I'm saying it. So I'd rather hear what I've said first, refine it, so that when I go in to talk to a customer or the 3,000 of you today that will be on our 4 p.m. Eastern Time webinar, it's not our first time saying it.
Gotcha. Let me go back to a quote of mine that I think is extremely important as well as you're preparing. You may be going into this with minimal preparation because it's your 1,000th time to say the same damn thing. Keep in mind, as a potential prospect or customer, prospective customer, it's my first time to hear it. So you can't be giving me the acronyms or the three-letter blurbs that I may not understand. You have to go in as a fifth grader or a 10th grader and give me the information the same way it was the first time you heard it. And you had questions and you needed advice. I'm the customer. Let's assume that I need information from you so I can be certain that your product is the best, that your service is the best, that your proof is final proof, and you can't take anything for granted or you're going to lose.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to give you some of the behind the scenes prep work that we've been doing, because I think it could actually help you tremendously with your prep work for your clients. So after we recorded that webinar with each other last night and practiced it, obviously we spent a ton of time coming up with notes and ideas and strategies for what should be in the presentation. Mm-hmm. And we went back and forth on that a bit. And then we both had the topics, right? And then we added our own stories and that kind of thing. And then we recorded it with the slides on our computer, okay? I used QuickTime. It's really simple. It's on everyone's Mac. And if you don't have a Mac, I don't know what to tell you.
Go to the store.
Okay.
Well, I have a Dell. It's kind of like a Mac, except it's a piece of shit.
People
complain about their Dells all the time. They do not. Well, you know, it's our work. Right.
It's crazy. Okay, so I recorded our us giving our presentation, and then I sent it off to Rev, REV.com.
Oh, wow.
Rev is a transcription service. So we didn't have all of our words written out. It wasn't scripted whatsoever. We had ideas and stuff we wanted to talk about and points we wanted to make sure to hit, but I sent it off to Rev because they actually will transcribe it for you. And then you can not only like listen to what you said, but you can read back what you said and figure out how you want to change
or tweak.
Refine what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so Rev, I think, is $1 a minute. And then there's another service called Temi, T-E-M-I, and it's, I think, 10 cents a minute. And when Temi does it, it's computer generated, so it's not as accurate, but it is fast, man. Temi sent it back to us within under 10 minutes, and it was pretty accurate enough. I mean, I did it by both to compare, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah. So this is your challenge, sales guys. Sometimes you are preparing a one-on-one presentation. Sometimes you are preparing a group presentation. And sometimes you're preparing in front of a small selection committee.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's big group, middle group, or one group, my opinion is I prepare the same. I prepare the same proof. I prepare the same facts or questions. I might go a little bit different on the questions when it's a group setting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be reading to my daughter's fourth grade class next week. And there's a story in there that I'm going to be reading. I haven't really quite decided yet. But one of the things I'm thinking about reading is Stick and Stone.
Ooh.
And Stick and Stone is all about, obviously, sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you. It's about bullying. It's about sticking up for your best friends, that kind of thing. So I would walk into the audience and say, instead of just reading the book, okay, I'm going to read this book. It's by
Glory.
Right, exactly. I'm going to say, how many of you have had a best friend?
Ooh.
And how many of you had a best friend and you lost your best friend? And how many of you have ever had a best friend you lost and you got them back? And how many of you have lost a best friend and you still can't find them? And so I'm ready.
Let's hope there's no fourth graders crying before the book starts.
It is what it is.
Is this about a missing persons case?
It's about the reality of these kids are facing social situations right now, and they have to understand how to talk and how to react. Now, I was lucky because when I was raising Stacy and Erica, they were twins. And I got to teach them about interacting through each other.
Mm.
And they were always prepared with, if somebody came at them and tried to separate them, they couldn't. I said, you back your sister no matter if it's right or wrong. When you come home, you can figure it out.
Yeah.
But when you're in the playground, you back yourself. Okay, so I'm ready with those questions. I'm always ready with questions. And that's where you have to...
So you're going to do this for the fourth graders, but we also did this for our presentation. I think this is what you're alluding to.
Yeah.
We came up with our own list of the questions we think you guys may ask. so that we are prepared to answer your questions.
And if you don't ask them, I'm going to ask them.
That's right.
So, because I want to make sure that you understand what it is that you have to be ready for, because it's not just your preparation and your slideshow. If you're rehearsing your slideshow, something is drastically wrong. You have to rehearse what you say outside of your slideshow. You have to have the ad lib and the story that goes with it and the proof that goes with it, because I guarantee you that when your marketing department puts a slideshow together, it's freaking boring. And I don't even recommend you show it.
Yeah.
But there's a way to do it. If you're preparing correctly, you send the customer your slideshow a day in advance. You may have to tweak it to make it readable and understandable, but a day in advance, and say, look, this is the boring part of my presentation. I'm coming there tomorrow and spending 1 hour talking about you, your profit, your situation, and how you can most benefit by using our product. This has been a Seller Die Extra. If you like it and you like the show and you like all the information that's inside of it, go to thegittimerlearningacademy.com and subscribe. What are you doing? What's this noise?
I'm going to gittimerlearningacademy.com to subscribe.
Way to go. Way to go. You can also subscribe to Sell or Die on Overcast if you have an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to the store and get an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to iTunes or Stitcher and come back every single Tuesday for a full Sell or Die episode with expert sales analysis that will help you do the one thing you're hoping for, make more sales.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellorDieNetwork.com.